Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Glad you came to join us in God's house this morning. It's good to be with each and every one of you and be in God's house, singing His praises and hearing His word this morning. We're going to ask that you stand with us as we open our service with the hymn, Higher Ground. So if you could stand with us, please, as we open our service this morning. Service. If we have any visitors, special welcome to you this morning. Let's turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see you today. I'm glad you're here. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. So we're glad you're here this morning. I want to take this time to welcome those who worship each Sunday with Facebook and YouTube, and those who listen by the radio. You're a part of us here, so we welcome you to our service today as well. I'll continue today in Philippians, so we'll be in Philippians chapter 3 today, and we'll be talking about the joy of victory, and we'll talk about that from the life of the Apostle Paul this morning. It's good to see you today. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for this time that you've given us. And Lord, we just are excited about this day of worship, where we can just set aside time to come together and worship you. And Lord, we want to honor you today in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just pay close attention to the announcements in the bulletin. We've almost made it through our upward season. We've got one more week to go. The goal was to hopefully we could get through the season without having to cancel any games or any Saturdays, but we were almost there. We got one more week to go, and we appreciate everyone that's helped us this year with coaches and workers and greeters and people that help clean up. So we've had a good response from all those that helped us this year. We're going to continue with our theme is Walking with God, and the two songs we're going to sing is The Solid Rock and The Lily of the Valley. You join in with us as we sing these hymns this morning.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seeks to hide its Father's face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, thoughtless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow He's my comfort, in trouble He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation He's my strong and mighty tie. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now He keeps me by His power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do His blessed will, a wall of fire above me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna He my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
And as that song, the theme of that song is all about Jesus, and He is the fairest to our soul. And we're going to sing about that again, that theme about Jesus and Jesus Messiah. It's a very familiar song. We need your help with it this morning. So if you could stand and join us on this song, we'll let you sit on the next one. So Jesus Messiah, join in with us as we sing.
Sinners, the ransom from hell.
ask you to continue singing with us on this one. This is entitled Do It Again, and it talks about just God's faithfulness and how he's always came through, and he's never failed us. And so you join in with us as we sing Do It Again.
Faithfulness, I'm still in your hands.
promise still stands. We're held securely in your hands, and your faithfulness is always there. We thank you for the assurance we have of knowing that you're in control of all things. We thank you for the peace that comes in knowing and having a personal relationship with you. We ask that you lead us through the rest of this service. Open our hearts as we receive your word today. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. Worship is very important to us. And just as we sang together today, just to focus in on the words of the song today and focus on the Lord, it just, you know, it overflows you. It really does. And that's what worship is. And so when we gather together on Sunday, you know, that's what we're doing. We want to worship God and to worship Him in spirit and truth and just let Him, you know, just fill us, speak to us, and His presence just overwhelms us. So thank you today for leading us in those songs today. The joy of victory. Philippians 3, 7 through 14 in the scripture today. I began reading at verse 7. What things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul tells us here is how we can experience joy in the Christian life. As I read through this passage today, I don't know if you noticed how many times he used the word I or my. This is a very personal word from Apostle Paul. Basically, what Paul is doing here in this chapter today, in these verses that I read, is sharing with us his personal testimony. Now, we know what happened to him on the road to Damascus from Acts chapter 9. And two other chapters in the book of Acts where he shared his testimony. But there he talked pretty much about the outward experience that happened to him as he was on the road to Damascus. Here, what Paul is doing is telling us what was in his heart, what he was thinking about, what his emotions were, how God changed his will. All of that that happened that day when he was saved. So here we see what really was in the Apostle Paul's heart the day that God saved him on that road to Damascus. So in these verses today, what he does here is to give us a strategy for victory in our Christian walk with the Lord. We're talking today about the liabilities of the past. And so that's the first truth that we're going to talk about. And Paul used really a business term to describe it. If you see here, he talks about counting and count. He talks about losses and gains. And so he looks at all those things in his past life. And really, they're not really bad things in what they are, but they were bad things in the way that he looked at them. There are about seven different things that Paul mentions there in the previous verses that he counted as lost. Now, like I said, it was his tradition, it was his background, it was his religion, it was his education, all those things. Now, in themselves, those things are not bad. But they became liabilities to him. And the reason he talked about it that way, and the reason that he used the word count, is because what he's saying is, I looked at this and I considered what all that was. And when I considered all that, even though it was good, it became bad, because it was bad for him because he was trusting in those things to get him to heaven. And we know that the only way to heaven is through Christ, and the only way to be saved is through Christ. And so think about it in that term. So he's looking at his past here. The things that had been important to him were no longer important to him. The priorities of his life had changed. His whole life and attitude had changed here. So as we think about these words, what you need to think about is this: how the Savior laid hold of his life and changed his life completely. Do you remember when you got saved and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, how your life was changed? Well, that's what Paul is talking about here. He was reminding the Philippians here that the decision that he made some 30 years ago on that road to Damascus, how his life had been before then, and how his life had changed since then. Now, he had not changed his mind in all these years about all the things that he counted for loss for him. Listen to the words of Jesus. Now, these are famous words of Jesus, some that will be probably very familiar to you. But I think these words summarize what Paul is trying to say here in Matthew 16:25-26. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will he give in exchange for his soul? You know what Paul gave? He gave everything to know Christ. He gave everything that day on the road to Damascus to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That's where we have to be with it. We've got to be willing to give all that we are to all that He is, and that brings salvation to us. What are we going to give in exchange for eternal life? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? You give your life to Christ, and you believe in Him, and you follow Him, and you trust Him as the only way to heaven. And so that's what Jesus, the point that Jesus is making here. From time to time, you're probably going to have to downsize at your place, at your house. Now that can lead to some discussions. What are you going to get rid of, and what are you going to keep? Our discussion one time was getting rid of some toys. I lost that battle, okay? We had to keep those toys that Franklin had played with many years ago. But every now and then, you've got to have a house cleaning and, you know, get rid of some things and keep things, and you've got to decide what are you going to hold on to and what are you going to get rid of, okay? And that's what Paul is speaking of here and talking about his past. There were some things in his life that he was going to get rid of, some things that he was going to put aside and trust Christ completely for his salvation and to put his faith and trust in Him. So he's talking about that in this way that he stated it today. When the Apostle Paul turned his life over to Jesus Christ, he went through that kind of house cleaning that we all have to go through. Now, when the Bible talks about righteousness, it talks about righteousness in this passage. Think about righteousness this way. It's a Bible word, and you know it can be a big word and all that. But what it means is a right standing before God. And that's what Paul wanted. And I think deep down in our hearts, that's what we all want. We want to be in a right standing with God. And what Paul says here is that all that stuff that was a part of his life could not bring that right standing with God. The only thing that could do that was Jesus Christ and his complete trust in Christ for his salvation. The second truth that I want to talk about is the possibilities of the future here. When Paul turned away from his former life, like I said, he'd been a Christian now for some 30 years. When he wrote this letter to the Christians at Philippi, so he, you know, he's been living the Lord, living for the Lord for some 30 years now. And so he's thinking about, you know, possibilities, his future, while this is taking him. And again, he gets back to his heart. He tells us here what he's thinking. He tells us here what he's feeling about his relationship with the Lord. He's telling us how the Lord really changed his will to do the will of God and to follow him. And you see his heart. What you're seeing here is a life that has been changed. A man's life who has been turned around and he's living for the Lord and he's all in for Jesus Christ. So Paul had learned that that through all of this, that there were some things he could know. The first thing he wanted to know is Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The word know there is a very interesting word. It's more than this knowledge of facts. In the Old Testament, New Testament, the words, you know, when you look at the word, you put it all together. And it's a very personal knowledge of someone. Now, I know you all. I know some of you better because I've been around you more. And so that's kind of the thing here. You know, it's like, you know, you think you know someone before you get married. But when you get married, you really know them. It's a personal knowledge here. Some people know facts about the Bible. Some people know the history of Jesus and what history teaches about Jesus Christ, but they don't know him in a personal way. Why? Because they've never accepted him. They've never trusted him as Lord and Savior. What Paul is talking about here is that trust. He's talking about that personal relationship with the Lord. I'm told that what scientists have discovered now, they've discovered what they've called the temporary region of the brain. And what I'm told and what I've read about that is this, that is the part of the brain that helps you recognize people when you see them. Now, I don't know how all that works, but, you know, it works that way. I mean, we see people and we know them. Paul is talking here about a personal relationship that he has with Jesus Christ. Paul speaks of his desire to know Christ. Before that day on the Damascus Road, he knew the facts about Jesus. He knew the gospel. He knew what the gospel was because he was out there persecuting Christians. He knew what the gospel said. The gospel said that all this religion and tradition and all that stuff's not going to get you to heaven. What Paul was trusting in then was that, and so he was out there, you know, getting rid of Christians because he knew what they believed. But here he says, I know Christ in a very personal way. John 17:3, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Listen to it. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's the idea of a union. The idea of a marriage, of a union between two people. Coming together. Something that knits you together in a personal relationship. In the New Testament, the idea here is a deep personal knowledge of someone. And so that's what he wants with Jesus Christ. So he's talking about that. He said, I want to know Christ. I really want to know him. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, do you want to know him better? Well, I think we all do. And see, that's what we strive for, and that's what we're working toward. It. And just every day, we just want to know Him better. The second thing was to know the power of Christ. Now, what does the power of Christ do for you? What does it do for me? Well, it helps us. It helps us through our trials, the power of Christ does. It helps us when we face temptation. It helps us when we need encouragement. It helps us when we find, you know, the hard places in life. But the power of Christ is what he's talking about here. You know what Paul used as the greatest example that he could use to really demonstrate what this power is all about? Was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we're talking about a man who came back from the dead. What greater power is that? The power of the resurrection of Christ living in us through the person of Christ, and that's where Paul's going with this. It was the source of his spiritual power. In other words, it was the source of his victory in his Christian life. Where do we find that victory in the Christian life? We find it in the power of Christ. And so that's what Paul's saying here. He wants to know that power. Knowing Christ involves much more than simply an understanding of the facts. It's to know the power of the resurrection. Listen to this prayer that Paul prayed for the Christians at Ephesus. Listen to this. He prayed for them that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. That's the power that Christ gives you. And that's the power that Paul wanted to know. And that's the power that we all need to know. Every day, we face opportunities. We face struggles. We face experiences in life. And the question before us is not whether God's power will be present. That's not the question. But the question is this: in those times that we need to rely on His power, will we do it? Will we turn to Him for His power? That is the power that Paul is talking about here. It's the power in the present. It's the power of the past. It's the power of the future that he's talking about. And then knowing the passion of Christ. That's another thing he wanted, the passion of Christ. When people talk about the passion of Christ, now listen, here's what they're talking about. They're talking about the life of Christ, particularly of what happened in his life after the Last Supper. That's the passion of Christ. All that he went through, all the suffering, all the things that happened to him, even before he was nailed to the cross and being nailed to the cross, that is the passion. So what Paul is talking about here in this passage, he's talking about knowing the suffering of Christ, identifying with the suffering of Christ. What's that all about? Well, here's what it's about. It's about fellowship with Christ and his suffering. Now, here's what it means to us. It means that we have one who knows what suffering is all about. It means for us, when we go through any kind of suffering in life, any kind of pain, any kind of heartache, any kind of sorrow, any kind of difficulty that brings sorrow to us, we have one who knows all about that. We'll never go through what he went through. But the Bible says that he is seated in heaven today, that when we pray to him, he knows exactly where we are because he's been through this. And that's what Paul is talking about here. We have a Savior who knows exactly what we're going through. And so that's where we find the comfort that we need from him. That's what Paul's saying here, that we can know him. In Philippians 3:8, Paul says this, "For the sake of Christ, He says, I've suffered the loss of all things. 1 Peter 2:21. For this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So where do we go when we need comfort in a time of suffering? We go to Christ. We go to the one who's been there. We go to the one who knows what it's all about and can help us. 1 Peter 4:14, 16, 19. Listen to these verses. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, verse 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. We deposit to him the safekeeping of what he's given to us. What has he given to us? Now in that verse in Peter, why did he use the word creator? Who created your life? What's he given you? He's given you life. And so the Bible says when we go through those times of suffering and difficulty and heartache, when we go through, what do? We commit our life to him for his safekeeping. And that's exactly what Paul's saying here in these verses. And then, thirdly, what is the responsibility of the present? Paul talks about three things here. Paul talked about reaching toward the goal, pressing toward the prize, and all that. But he uses some words here that are athletic terms, is what he uses. And he's talking about the race that we run. Not if I had already obtained, verse 12. I'm already perfected. I'm not all that I need to be. None of us are. But we press on, that I may lay hold for that which Christ Jesus also had laid hold of me. What's he talking about here? He's talking about focus. He's talking about staying in your lane, focusing on Christ and in the Christian life and looking to him. Hebrews says it this way. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he says you've got to focus. That's our responsibility in the Christian life. The second thing is forget. He said forget those things that are behind. Now what Paul's talking about here is selective forgetfulness. Forget those things that would bring pride to our life. We can learn from the past. We can learn from whatever we go through in the past. We can learn from those things. But if those things are causing pride in our life, you know, let's just leave that alone. So selective forgetfulness is what he's talking about here. But also, we've got to forget about those successes. If they make us proud and arrogant, we'll forget about that. Paul, in his life, you know, he had a lot of things he could be proud about. He had a lot of things that could make him prideful, thinking that, you know, he was, you know, something. But he says, we forget about that. And we focus on Christ. And then he says, we're to follow. We're to follow a good example. We're to follow the example of Christ. We're to follow the example of those who have given their life to Christ and live for him. Reaching forward, he talks about that. That's the idea of effort in a race or a game or athletic competition. You're giving your all to it. He said to apprehend. You know what that means? That's really what it is. It's a football illustration. It means you lay hold of someone who's running before you, and you grab them, and you bring them down. And so you're running at this. You're going after it, and then you're pressing. He says, "We press. We stay with the course. We strain. You know, we strain at this thing." And so that was his desire. Now, what's the goal? The goal is to be like Christ. What's the prize? What's the prize of the high call? One day we're going to be with Him. And one day we're going to be like Him. And so he lays it out to us. So here we've talked about the past. We've talked about the future. And we talked about the present. So let's bring this to a close. I was reading a book the other day, and it talked about this climber who wanted to climb in the Swiss Alps. And in attempting his ascent in the Alps, he died. And at the base of the Alps, they put a kind of a memorial marker up. And here's what it said about him. It had his name, the date that he died trying to ascend the Alps. And here's the quote that it gave. He died climbing. That's where we want to be. See, what Paul's saying here is, I'm not all that I need to be. He had been a Christian for 30 years. Now, this is the great Apostle Paul. But he said, there's more I want to know about Jesus. I want to improve my relationship with Him. There's more that I need to know about Him. And that's where we want to be. How do we do that? Well, He's given us the Bible. We have prayer. Through the experiences and trials of life. You know what brings us to Christ more than anything else? Trials. Difficulties. Problems. I mean, when we face those things in our life that's out of our control, you talk about driving us to Christ, that's all part of that. But let me ask you this. And these are the words of Jesus that I quoted earlier. What will you give in exchange for your soul? This was a great exchange for the Apostle Paul. He changed his old life to a brand new life. And that's what coming to Christ, trusting Christ, believing in Him, that's what that's all about. Give all that you are to all that He is. If you've never been saved, give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you are saved, keep working, keep straining, keep wanting to know Him better, keep doing those things that help us to know Him in a personal way. Let's stand together for our prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You today for this great testimony from the heart of the Apostle Paul. Lord, we know that there's, in our past, there's those liabilities we just need to get rid of and leave behind. We also know that in the future, there's the possibilities. The possibilities of knowing You and the power of Your resurrection. Possibilities of knowing You in a better way, in a deeper way, in a fuller way. And Lord, as we think about the present, we also think about the responsibilities that we have. As Christians, to focus on You, to stay in our lane, to keep doing what we know that we need to do, to keep reaching out there for the goal, for the prize of Christian growth and Christian maturity, of Christ-likeness. That's what we're after here this morning. Lord, I ask today for those who need to be saved that they would come today. For those who are saved, encourage us, Lord, in the Christian race. Help us to give our very, very best to the Christian life. Help us to know the joy of victory in our walk with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am. But that Thy blood
thank you for being here today for worship, and just keep running that race and stay with it. And, you know, our desire is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Just to know Christ in a greater, fuller, better way every day as we go. We want to know Him, okay? So let's do that. Go this week in His grace and His power.
We'll close our service this morning with one verse of Victory in Jesus in the chorus. You sing with us.
I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is in Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you. Have a great week.